advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Why isn't? I guess this one isn't gonna fade out either. I thought I changed it and saved it. Oh, you know what I did?
What?
It was the episode that I changed it and saved it on. I didn't save that.
I thought about it earlier.
Does Leslie listen to our show?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck her. She didn't have fucking chocolate peanut butter brownies.
I wasn't gonna bring that up because it was kind of like there's some shame behind that.
Yeah. Well, how are you gonna have? She said, well, I'll just make you one. I'll just take a brownie and put peanut butter on it. I was like, is that what's on the chocolate peanut butter brownies? And she's like, yeah, and a layer of chocolate. And I was like,
well, then you're not going to make me.
Not the fucking same.
No.
Here's the deal, though. You don't need that. Brad had two.
I haven't eaten all day.
Yeah, but you don't get two cookies and a peanut butter brownie.
What's wrong with that?
It's a fucking ton of sugar.
Okay, Mr. Three whiskeys and a beer.
That's different. And this can't be,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That can't become a new OCD here. This is like becoming a tradition.
It's already done. It's been 3 weeks in a row. You're stuck.
You know what I was going to say? That I got stuck doing this stupid bell, but now I feel like I have to hold it up and look at it while I'm hitting it in a certain fashion. Like it's this. Like
plus
I don't
these
know
mics,
why.
You have to be like super close. It's got to be like up your nose.
Yeah, pretty much. Nah, you can come back here. You just got to talk a little louder, but yeah.
I know. I can't judge you for two cookies and a brownie.
No.
I just don't do sweets. It seemed like a lot of fucking sweets.
I don't know.
That's
all there is. What else am I going to eat over there? Fucking vegan chips or something?
They actually have sandwiches and salads and stuff.
No.
No, that's normal food.
That'd have took
I've
too
been
long.
Actively combating an OCD thing that's been like building in me.
What's yes. that? Buying Jordans?
Misery loves no. company.
I have no idea when it started. I don't know why it started to happen, but like if I see one thing in my house where there are more than one thing, I have to put it where the other things are. Like
that's a really bad.
I have two lamps next to me.
I'll be getting ready to turn the lights off and go to bed, and there will be like a remote control on the table.
Oh, you got to move that next
and
to the other.
I'm
ones.
Like. That remote control can't be alone.
Hey, Dave, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
And then it's like, if there were two remote controls, I have like a little thing where all my remote controls are. I don't feel like it has to go back where the remote controls belong.
It just has to have a partner.
I'm just like, it can't be sitting there alone all night. And I've had to like force myself, like as I say, there'll be like a coffee mug on the counter. And I'm like, I either need to put that in the dishwasher or have another coffee mug with it.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
No, it's not fucking cool.
You would justify it's impaired.
If there was another, if there were two dirty coffee mugs on the counter, I have no that's problem. Fine.
And you're going to leave them there.
Right.
Because then you can't move them.
And even
no, like, I could put them in the dishwasher. That's fine. Yeah,
that's like Brent. Oh, I got one whiskey glass. I can't be alone. I have to put another one next to it.
So I've been consciously, I'm feeling better about it already because I felt it starting to brew. And then I would be like, oh, there's only one remote. And I'm like, you stay there, remote. And then I'll go to bed. Like I've been consciously not letting
TVs.
It hit me. No, I only have one TV.
I was
going to
ask.
If I had...
Is that okay?
Two TVs next to each other. Yeah. There's one in another room. Fuck. We go to his house and everything's in his room, just next to each other, piled up.
He's dual wielding toothbrushes.
Yeah. He has a fake dick and balls next to his crotch. Like just can't be alone.
Dave brushed his teeth like Katy Perry.
Yeah, he killed his neighbor and cut his asshole out and put it pasted it to his
I
ass.
I told you that in confidence.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
I'll cut this out. Okay, I promise.
No, you won't. Right. I don't have, it's not the pear thing. This is my clink.
Mm-hmm.
This is my OCD. This is the only OCD of the bunch. Someone gave us whiskey. We're going to try that whiskey. That's why there's a second whiskey. Mm-hmm. And I'm thirsty and this is cold.
So you're two cookies because one can't be alone.
Well, that's all. Whatever. You want to drink our whiskey first or Yucateco Prize first?
Whatever's first.
All right. So we had a
give
ton,
away the ball sack.
We had a ton of participation. Someone actually got like, I don't know how to say it, like rebellious on the post. They said, I don't want anything to do with your stupid hot sack. And I just posted back, you want it in or around your mouth. And signed off. And then someone talked shit on our I posted that we made 116 on iTunes for top comedy podcast. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, you guys are all right if you could stay on topic and quit saying fuck every three words. And I said,
the fuck are they talking about?
That's what I said. I posted back. I said, hey, scatterbrain fucks got us to 116. I'm not changing shit.
Yeah.
And I signed off.
You know what's funny? I just challenge everyone out there to start their own podcast. I know Sam did it and right. found out it's a little more difficult.
It's hard.
Than it looks.
Yeah.
So no. Yeah, start your own podcast. We'll promo you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll put it out there.
That's right.
And get on
the
charts.
Try not to say fuck though. It's really
Try not to say fuck.
If you want
try
those,
to stay on topic.
We have like 15 episodes where we didn't say fuck.
That's true.
We do. Go back find and find them. Those. Yeah, the radio editions.
And they're horrible.
It was tough.
It was rough, man.
Those are the pizza dates. We did pizza. Come on. Because we couldn't say fuck.
Those were rough. Yeah.
Anyways, a bunch of people posted pictures of food and I was just kind of impressed. I want to try this myself. So this is why, and Dave concurred, but Joel Attenborough made homemade hummus and put XXX in it. And that's kind of my favorite dinner. I store-bought hummus that I put on like rice and beans.
Oh, he made
hummus. Yeah. So what is it? It's not a, it's a
hummus.
No, what are they made out of? Yeah.
Tahini, hummus. AKA sesame paste.
No, it's some kind of bean.
Yes. What's I'm getting the there.
Oh, keep going.
Tahini,
get to it.
AKA sesame paste. Garbanzo beans.
Garbanzo beans.
AKA chickpeas.
Did you just get canned,
olive oil.
Canned ones or something?
Yep. Yeah, olive oil, a little bit of garlic.
That seems garbanzo half-assed. Beans. Can I buy garbanzo beans and boil them?
On top of it? Yes, you can.
Yeah, because if I'm going all the way, I'm going all the way. I'm going to make it. No?
No.
It's a bitch to boil them?
It's just a pain in the ass, and they come out they come out worse than what you bought in the can for 99 cents.
It's like pinto beans. You're going to go buy pinto beans.
Like you can cook a big ass pot of pinto beans and then they're exactly as good as whatever the fuck you would have gotten.
Actually,
or not as good. Yeah. The texture's wrong.
That's true.
I mean, in the long run, I guess they're cheap.
You undercooked them.
You'll buy a 1 pound bag of dried garbanzo beans for $1, which will be several cans worth. Maybe you're maybe saving a third.
Well, on that note, I'm going to make bean dip then. You could just put pinto beans in the blender and do that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Never thought about that. But Joel
or by refried beans.
You could just do that too.
Is that the same as bean dip? No way.
Yeah.
That can of like bean dip is not just refried beans.
It's got like it has powder in it.
It's got some extra
like
spices.
The Frito bean dip?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got like some spices.
Like $3 it's got some extra for like a hockey.
Yeah, but if you put if you put like a occasion seasoning in the beans and refried beans.
Some garlic powder.
You just occasionally put seasoning in there.
Yeah.
When
occasion
you walk
seasoning.
By,
right. Yeah.
Occasional seasoning.
It's for that occasion. It's for refried beans.
Halloween. Yeah, it's the season of the occasion. Mm-hmm. Caucasian seasoning. Yeah.
I could try.
Ranch powder is Caucasian seasoning.
With wasabi.
For a while, I made Caucasian. My own hummus, and I realized at the end of the day, it isn't really that much better than
it's
hummus.
It's $4.99 for the red pepper hummus that I get, and it's
expensive. I mean, making your own hummus is definitely cheaper than buying store-bought hummus.
I can't make the red pepper one, though. Once I did it, I bet it's not. It's a big tub. It's like the Smart and Final tub.
Just put XXX in the fucking hummus.
That's what I do. I just buy store-bought hummus.
So what you're saying is
the restaurant.
That's it. This guy on Facebook. Yeah, you fucked up.
This guy on Facebook made shitty hummus and put XXX in it. That's what you're telling us.
No, I don't know. It looked good.
And he won the hot sack?
It just felt like he went the extra mile.
If he made his own, he did go the extra mile. I always put, not always, but I very regularly put El Yucateco of various kinds in my hummus.
I was going to say, I make life look good, but life sucks.
Yeah.
So. The same.
Good job, Joel. You win the hot sack, right? In or around your mouth. And then somebody gave us some whiskey and a whole bunch of gifts.
Yes.
And so we need to like decode these gifts too. Because I'll be honest, my gifts are weird.
Somebody, they sent me a message about this triple smoke whiskey.
Yeah.
And they said they wanted to know what I thought about it. I said, you want to know
three times as much.
I said, you want to know what I think about it before I even taste it just by the name? And he said, yeah. And I said, I think it's going to be smoky, spicy, and I'm not going to like it.
That's a good summary.
So Gabriel Zeros, he has a regular name And he doesn't understand that obviously I only see Gabriel on social media, in the group, on Instagram, mm-hmm. all this shit. That's like his social name. Mm-hmm. And he has a regular name that's in Patreon.
It's actually Gabriella.
Gabriella.
Yeah.
He thinks somehow I remember the other name. And then he's like, did you get my box? And it's labeled whatever his other name is that I don't know still. And he was like, oh, you could just say the other name if it's easier to remember. I was like, no, no, it's not.
I don't know the name.
Why do you have a
second name? You know how many people message us?
You might be a teacher or something, though. He's pulling that action.
No, maybe.
I just can't keep up with it. But
is he a superhero?
That could be it. That'd be cooler than teacher.
Yeah.
Super kindergartner.
He's a zero, not a hero.
Yeah.
Anyways, you're right. He bought us Corsair small batch triple, and I think it says smoked. Yeah.
Yes.
But then he put stickers
he
over it.
He tried to ruin the bottle.
I tried to peel it off. It won't peel off. Good. It's fucked up. I'm going to have to heat label it off.
He perfected the
bottle. That's fine. You just leave it.
And it has a picture of what looks like the Reservoir Dogs on the front. And then he named us and put little name tags on each one.
Yep.
But Dave's like the shortest of the bunch. So yeah, it's not working out.
Could just be perspective.
So anyways, this is Corsair small batch.
He's just back further.
Triple smoked. And we're going to try it. Dave's got a core. Impressive core, Dave. I like it. I like smoky stuff, though.
It's spicy.
I think it's good.
Tastes like marijuana.
There's an aftertaste of hot dog.
It does kind of have a weed aftertaste.
It has a weed aftertaste for sure.
It's funny. I thought hot dogs, like boiled hot dogs for a second. And as soon as you said weed, it turned into weed. What is that?
I don't know.
Maybe there's hops in it.
Something. Yeah, maybe.
There might be hops.
It is. But like as soon as it hit my palate, it was
like spicy.
It's not like
super burn.
And then it was like smoother. And then it was smoky. And then it was spicy a second
time. Not very smoky.
It says
weedy.
I think it's double.
If you like marijuana.
It's double spicy, single smoky, single weedy.
That's right.
It says cherry, beechwood, and peat smoked
tastes
barley.
Nothing like that.
It must be the barley thing or something.
Well, I'm getting a lot more smoke right now. Like this long after.
Sweetness, vanilla.
The smoke wasn't too bad.
No.
That was weird.
To have smoked in the name, triple smoked.
Yeah. You Jedi mind tricked me, though. You said weed and it was just all, it tastes like weed.
As soon as I swallowed it, it was like the Lost Boys.
Yeah. When he's eating the rice and he said, how do you like those maggots? And it turned into maggots. Yeah. You did that. You made
maybe
weed whiskey.
Maybe the weed is the triple smoke.
Maybe.
So Brad, what present did Gabriel get you?
Oh, is this from him?
Yeah, that's from Gabriel. He brought you like a box full of stuff. you should probably look at the DVDs first since you don't know what that is.
Okay.
That's a backwards Japanese
anime.
What is this thing?
Manga, sorry. Japanese manga.
What is this called? You open it. Graphic. There's pages.
It's a book.
Oh, a book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So DVDs this says, for like Brad, I want to suck your dick. The hard way. I don't know what that means.
Sideways, I'm pretty sure.
Sideways.
With my hands behind my back.
Yeah.
Oh, you read it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I want to suck your dick sideways with my hands behind my back. You are so fucking awesome. Poor Brad. That's nice, Gabriel. Thank you. And it's cheesy horror DVDs, volume one and two.
But what's the maker? It says something funny like.
Cheesy Fucks.
Yeah, Cheesy
presents
Fucks.
Cheesy Horror, volume one and two. These are kind of funny, he says. We can watch them together while I suck you off.
Yeah, that's nice.
He's thinking of you.
So he sent me Extraterrestrials Among Us, the book.
Which I kind of feel like I would have wanted that. Like page 60 looked really good.
He also sent me a DVD of Communion, which does have the alien that I do not like to look at. I'm keeping it covered.
He did apologize.
That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
He did. His post-it says, for Dave, sorry.
How scary is that?
Huh?
How scary is that movie? I haven't seen the movie? That. Yeah.
I draw a blank. It's probably not scary at all to you.
Are you going to watch it?
No.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Jesus Christ, no. I watched it once and I didn't sleep for a fucking year.
Hey, we need to get that projector set up in here so we can just like middle of the podcast put the communion on.
Oh, yeah, just turn it on. It's like, what is that?
So I have to say, I have no proof of this, but Gabriel Zero's handwriting looks almost exactly like my sister's handwriting.
Yeah, that happens
to me. Oh, so she's going to give me a blowjob.
Well, I wouldn't put it past her.
It might be at the same time. That's the hard. You know what? That's why it's the hard way, because he has to watch his sister do it. He's like, this is difficult. That's my sister. But it's so hot. Yeah, so he got me. My note says, for Brent, Mr. Tinfoil Hat. And then it's season one of Portlandia, which really confuses me. I don't know why that. Maybe he just called me Mr. Tinfoil Hat as like a term of endearment and then gave me Portlandia, because maybe I'm going to enjoy the humor. Maybe it's full of puns.
But then didn't you also get a...
Then I also got a Mad Max, and you have to be 17 to own this Hot Wheel. I don't know fucking why. Why do you have to be 17 to own the Hot Wheel?
That's choking parts. You know, 16-year-olds always choke on
fuck yeah, they do shit.
They're always choking on shit.
It says mature. Why is this car mature? What is happening?
Mad Max, probably rated R movie.
I don't know. Yeah. So anyways, a Mad Max vehicle, and I don't know why, but the justification for it on the back says, for Brent, now your robot has a car.
There you go. That's why. He said, I don't know why. There you go.
All right.
Now you know. Robot.
I'm going to get an onslaught of messages next week. Like, duh, you have a robot that needs a car. Like, he's going to send me a bunch of messages. True. Thank you for the whiskey, though.
Gabriel. And then I also got, I don't know what it's called. Is it?
It's a manga.
Is it Omnibus
novel.
One?
Yes.
So that's the name of it. And it has a.
The Omnibus just means that it's a compilation of all of the,
one.
All
okay.
Of, yeah. I am a hero. Isn't it?
I am a hero. So maybe he's trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
And it is a Japanese comic book. It is gory, has a Japanese guy holding a shotgun, an over-under, not in a tree. I'm confused about this, but...
doesn't make much sense.
Maybe it will after I read the...
Probably manga. Will.
That's almost as confusing as my Mad Max car that's rated for ages.
Yeah.
It's beckoning a robot.
And it says...
In Portland.
For Brad, hope you like gore in your butthole, because that's what's going to happen when I meet you.
Yeah.
I don't... So, okay. Well,
it's very strange. I read most of it when I was here this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
I'll
get past page 60 because it's like a couple words on a page. I'll be able to jam through this.
Somebody's
thing.
On the edge of a 1-star review. They're like, these motherfuckers haven't talked about anything yet. They're just bullshitting about presents. And they're.
So what? We have people who like us.
Just in the right time, we're going to come in with reincarnation.
That's right. Reincarnation.
Yeah. Done.
Yep.
Now we can go home.
That's a place where you refinance your cars. It's a chain across the United States.
Reincarnation?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And if you're a redneck, you believe in reincarnation.
Tarnation. That's the Yosemite Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. So reincarnation, we had requests that I think specifically said they wanted to hear about the instances of reincarnation where children have... memories, but for the most part, if you look at the literature about reincarnation, the majority of the evidence is children who have the memories,
and it's religious.
Like that tends to be the bulk.
You can't really prove it because people turn into cows, people turn into lizards, they can't talk.
It depends on the religious person you're talking to.
Different, a lizard. Yeah. Have you seen that Geico lizard?
Well, that's a rare case.
That's living proof.
Yeah,
and Howard the Duck too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Ninja Turtles.
So with reincarnation, when I've studied it, it's always, it basically comes down to when you get the really good cases, because there are some
Patrick Swayze and Ghost.
Yes, exactly. There are some really good cases of reincarnation out there. And when you read those cases, it comes down to like reincarnation or bullshit.
Whoopi Goldberg's still Patrick Swayze right now.
What?
Like, damn, baby, what'd you do to your hair? It's autumn sunrise. You like it? You don't remember that?
No.
I'm a Ghost. That's the only line I know from Ghost.
That's too much. I can tell you that.
That is a lot.
That just puts you in the woman category.
But the good cases that are out there, you read them and you're either like, okay, I'm just going to dismiss this entire thing as bullshit. Right. Like none of this happened. The people made it up in the first place, et cetera. Or you at the end kind of have to go, well, fuck, if that shit happened,
then
I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah. It's kind of strange. I almost think like it. I mean, if you think about the Matrix, and we talked about this before, like we live in some simulated world, that's what it is. You know, like I feel like I have characteristics from maybe a past life, you know, like you kind of, make yourself who you were.
Old code.
Yeah, like you know.
It's not even that. Like I'm glad you said that. I wasn't going to jump right straight into simulation theory, but obviously, like I believe that, and I thought more about like Destiny, right? Well, so like if you started playing Destiny, you have a character, and then you can start a new character, but it's still you ultimately playing it. And you, if you made enough characters, you really won't remember what you did on character one. Like, oh, what stats do you have? What armor do you have? Yeah. You know,
but a little bit, but your traits would still be there because you still have the same traits, even though it's a different character. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I always thought about that. And you know, like when you first started talking about the Matrix theory and all that stuff, I was like, no way, no way. But then as I started thinking about it, you're like, like
it makes the most amount of
makes sense. Yeah.
Like it's something I had this discussion with a friend yesterday, actually. And we got a long discussion, like not argument, but like debate.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
which is good.
Frustrating for me. Cause I was trying to say like my belief in simulation theory gives foundation to your Christianity. You know what I mean? So like right now, left alone, you're just like on blind faith.
Yeah.
You know, but with simulation, I'm giving you something to explain the physics.
It's real.
It doesn't interfere with your religion in any way.
Things could disappear.
Yeah.
You might not find Jesus' body.
Maybe,
you know,
it doesn't seem so silly if I'm like, oh, someone created this game. You know what I mean? Like when you die, oh, you have to go to cloud land or whatever. You know what I mean? So that it justifies, it gives meaning. It gives an explanation to it. You know what I mean? And the thing with simulation theory is like, well, you're believing simulation on blind faith. No, we have recreated like physical simplistic models like Minecraft. We created a simulation in which you control an avatar in a simulated, explorable, tangible, you know, spatial environment that
artificial intelligence, all that stuff.
Yeah, kids have made Minecraft spatial explorable environment larger than the solar system. And you could probably take all those computers and like fit them in a couple of blocks. It's
and the
crazy.
Thing, when you get into the simulation theory, I mean, you start to see people like some of the best computer experts in the world, some of the best tech experts in the world, like philosophers, like even quantum physicists, like they crunch the numbers and they're like, statistically speaking, it makes more sense that we're in a simulation than it makes sense that we're the ones in the real universe.
The thing that always makes it real for me is I always equate it to this. I think about like, I start scaling and I think about the Earth and I think about the energy and the resources and the actual matter that's required to create the Earth. And then I go, and then Jupiter and then Saturn and then our solar system and then our galaxy.
And then beyond that,
and then,
it's like,
then we have the universe, right? And then they think that there's a multiverse and they think there's an unlimited number of universes. Right. Wouldn't it make more sense to simulate that? Because you could simulate that in a box and it only needs to be present when it's observed.
Yeah.
So the resources are not as crazy as you think. It's only present when it's observed. Just like Minecraft, you walk to the edge and it starts randomly generating new environment when you look in that direction.
Well, right. One of the things is like I went to, I think it's the Glendale. I think I talked about it before, but it's like the mall called? No, it's like the
observatory.
The observatory. It's not the observatory though. It's called something else. Maybe it is the observatory, but it's like a fucking dome and has projectors that shoot to the ceiling.
Let's call it Tetragrammaton because I really like that word.
So I went to the Glendale Tetragrammaton.
Grammaton.
Yeah. And you can get there. You can go to it's at the college, the Glendale College. And, I've always been interested in space and like reincarnation and like just, and religion and stuff like that, you know, stuff that makes up the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that we don't know and can't figure out. It's always interesting to me, because you can think about it so hard, your fucking brain hurts. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you just like get to a point and you're like, I'm at an edge. There's nothing beyond that. But I went there and they show, you know, our solar system and they show the planets and stuff. And then they tell you to take your finger and do the okay symbol and look through it. And then they zoom that shit in and they're like, in this little quarter size space, this is how many galaxies, universes, you know, like fucking just,
well, not universes, just, but galaxies.
Well,
yeah.
An entire, yeah. Galaxies, entire galaxies.
Yeah.
There's billions in a quarter, you know, when you hold the okay symbol up and look through the circle,
there's
it's insane.
There's YouTube videos that'll make you want to throw up.
Yeah.
You're just like, what the fuck?
And I had my daughter watching that today where the size of the Earth versus like, the sun. Next the sun,
that
here comes the micro dirty
jobs. That one's fucking crazy, dude.
And she goes, and she's like, and I was like, look at this. I was like, we're in a solar system.
Right.
I was like, all the stars that you're seeing in the sky are other solar systems.
By the government.
Yeah. Yeah, they're holes in a black sheet.
Yeah, they're projected in the inside of the dome.
And she like freaked out. She's like, her little brain was like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Well, that
like,
doesn't, you know, stop like when you grow up.
No, no, you don't.
Like, no, I'm cool all the way up until origin. And we're probably off base, but it gives us something to talk about. But like, I can do, simulation. I know what I'm talking about. This is that.
Well, I don't think this is off base because, I mean, it's based on reincarnation. Like, is there a heaven? Is there a hell?
What's that simulation, you know what I mean? Though, like, is the thing. Yeah. So that's what I always get to. And I'm like, okay, so we thought about the things I said. And you're like, all those resources, it makes more sense. It's a simulated environment. Because if there is a real world and there's all these multiverses and all these simulations and there's simulations inside of simulations, obviously we're doing it. So what's the chance that we're not a simulation, that we're one? Not,
that's what I was saying.
Not highly likely.
Like statisticians say, statistically speaking,
we're a simulation.
Or what is real?
Right.
who's to say what is real?
Yeah, right. That's the Matrix thing too. Yeah, yeah, like if once you when you dream, you know, like you can touch things and smell things, and it's a trip, man. Like, fucking, it's mind blowing. But as soon as you think of origin, then what made that? That's when I got nothing for you.
Right.
It fucking my brain just fucking sparks.
Yeah. What are we in?
Comes out. Yeah.
What are we in? And yeah. Who's around it?
Like, who
and what's
made
there?
That? Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know.
Turtles all the way down.
Yeah.
So I ran into while looking into it, I was trying to find the best examples of reincarnation, and they all point to a guy named Ian Stevenson. And Ian Stevenson is kind of an interesting fucking guy. So in the 1950s, he became the chair of psychiatry at the University of Virginia, and he studied the paranormal. He was studying, I mean, as a psychiatrist, he studied, you know, patients who claimed, you know, paranormal things, and he was interested in it. And that's something that he started to look into, and he started to do research in reincarnation because he thought it was such an interesting phenomenon. And he was trying to scientifically find good cases, scientifically prove that it's possible. And he doesn't make, you know, he didn't, to my knowledge, from the limited amount that I read about him, he doesn't make statements about a soul. He doesn't make statements about, he's just talking about
his
the phenomenon
life.
Of reincarnation. He doesn't say he himself had one. He doesn't claim to remember anything, but he studies people who do. So he got a huge boost when in 1968, a guy named Chester Carlson, who invented the Xerox copy machine and was a multimillionaire. He worked for Xerox.
AKA Chester the Molester.
Yeah, that's exactly from. Right. But he died of a heart attack, and he left $1 million in his will to Ian Stevenson as long as he continued doing research for the university about reincarnation.
That's actually where the term even Steven comes from. He left it to him. He said, if you figure this reincarnation thing out, we're even Steven.
We're even Stevenson.
Yeah.
We're evenson Stevenson.
He shortened it because it rhymed.
Yeah, it rhymed better. Yeah. But so he gets all this money, and he goes into he basically becomes, like, as far as scholarship goes, if you're looking at reincarnation, Ian Stevenson is the guy to look at. In his career, I think he died in 2007, I want to say. In his career, he studied 3,000 cases of reincarnation, of different claims that people had been reincarnated. He created the Society for Scientific Exploration, which looks at these. He wrote 300 papers and 14 books on reincarnation, and he was trying to do it from a scholarly academic side. None of these are like hippy dippy, like get your crystals and harmonize. Like, he was trying to scientifically break this shit down and see if there's anything at the end of the day, if he can find patterns, if he can find. So he's not like some like new age guy.
Yeah, I think even people like Carl Sagan looked at his work, yes. And they were just like, although Carl Sagan didn't believe in reincarnation, he had a quote saying that, I mean, it was strict scientific method,
yes.
That the way that he went about gathering the information and conducting the research was solid.
Yes. And there was, I read a quote, there was a physicist named Doris Kullman, and she's won multiple awards on surface physics. Like,
Doris
a physicist, Kullman.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
As in Gary?
Mom?
I'm disappointed in you. You're getting slow in your old age.
Spelled weird.
He's gonna sneak up on you if you're not careful.
He is.
His name was in front of you, and your wits weren't even about.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're
alarms right. Should be going off.
And his Mona Lisa portrait is right behind you, staring at the back of your head. Imagining your orange crotch.
She said that, quote, the statistical probability that reincarnation does in fact occur based on his evidence is so overwhelming that cumulatively the evidence is not inferior to that for most, if not all, branches of science. So she even looks at his data and the way he collected his data and says, this is fucking crazy. Like,
right.
Physicists like look at his work and say, and again, he himself and the people that look at his work aren't at the end of the day saying, yes, there is a soul and yes, it survives. They're saying this particular experience where of reincarnation.
This is what the evidence shows.
This is what the evidence shows.
It's really hard to do too, because like you generally try to not be biased, but you have a stance.
Right.
In your heart of hearts, you believe one thing or the other, right. And it's hard to not drift that way and cater to the side that, that supports your belief. That's
the cognitive bias.
Right. Yeah. And he even said, a quote from him was, the wish not to believe can influence as strongly as the wish to believe.
Yeah.
Right. So he talks about reincarnation and like, he basically says a lot of scientists will not look at this data and will not look at this evidence because their bias prevents it from even being possible.
Yeah.
So they won't even
it's
look
hard
at
to
the,
objectively it is. It examine. Is. Stuff like that. Like I catch myself all the time going, nope, calm down.
Yeah.
You fucking love this shit. Or I'm like, nope, be, you know, you don't believe this, but you got to give it open mind to it. Every time the simulation comes in now, it's my Santa Claus.
Right. Yeah.
Like, how did he get all the presents? All it's magic. It's, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's how he does it.
So his
maybe
thing,
it is.
His sort of definition of reincarnation, boxes that he would tick are that in most of the cases, again, out of the 3,000 cases that he studied, the majority of them are children who are between the ages of 3 and 9. The next thing is they have memory claims that there's two types of memory claims. One, they can be easily verified. Like if I said I was born, you know, I have a memory of a past life in 1850 and I lived in New York City and my name was Samuel Dalton. Right. And you could look up Samuel Dalton in New York City and find out that such a person.
And they do it. Yeah. It's crazy. Like I saw so many cases where that happens.
So that's one type of memory claim. The other type of memory claim, which he's more interested in and that he found tons and tons of these, are when a kid will say, not just my name was, you know, Samuel Dalton and I lived on this street, but he'll say, and as a matter of fact, I hid gold coins in the north wall of my house.
Wow.
And they'll
and
go back and
people
find
would go back and dig in coins. The wall and find fucking gold coins. In the, and it's like, craziness. Like, so there's verifiable facts that you could do through research or little things like, you know, my mother's name was this and her housekeeper's daughter was named this. And it's like, you're not, and we're talking about cases. This is starting in the 1950s, looking at cases from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. There's no fucking internet. There's not even a phone directory that's accurate. So this information wasn't something you could pick up.
Can't read yet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's not like they read
absolutely.
It somewhere. Yeah. Like, if that's
true, it's before the internet, it's before TV. No, yeah, they're not.
And
reading.
If that's true, and this was verified to be positively correct, how can you deny it?
Right. Like I said, it just comes down to bullshit or reincarnation. Like I'm either ruling the entire case out.
But if there's one, then it's true.
Right. Exactly. Much less.
It's just like the same thing with alien abduction. I was trying to, you know, there's 50,000 cases of people who have been abducted.
Right.
A lot of them are going to be bullshit.
Yes.
If one of them
then
is real,
shit.
Then it's fucking real. Like it doesn't matter if the rest are bullshit.
One of our buddies, Justin Pfeiffer, said in the group or something, has anyone done any research on the connection between premature births and alien abduction experience? Because he's like, maybe that's a traumatic thing when like they're out of the womb and there's people in like suits and green suits above them with lights sticking them with needles and tubes and putting them in an incubation chamber and all this stuff. And then later that stuff's reoccurring and coming back, which I thought was kind of a cool observation. Yeah. I bet no one's done that.
I never thought about that.
All the baby thermometer anal probes.
And the anal probe,
it's all in there. So other reincarnation traits, they do
premature
remember.
Premature babies are like black olives. You just put them on your fingertips.
Yeah.
And you're just like, look at
And then you just like, and then you type on a solid keyboard. Yeah. Just fucking take them out.
Put one on each
one
finger,
at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're in a hospital. If anything went wrong, you're
LKJH.
In a hospital.
That's true.
Dead.
QWERTY.
LKJH dead. Bumper sticker.
They claim to remember the past life, including family members and locations. And when they're interviewed, they can provide specific details that no one should be able to have. They'll have invested. The cases that he looked at were ones where there were multiple investigators who could confirm both spontaneous and solicited memories. So the parents would usually be the first ones to report this. And they would say, my kid said this and this and this and this. And those were what we would call spontaneous memories. And then solicited memories are when an investigator will sit down and say, okay, so what was your mom's name? Like, where did you live?
That's the big question. Are they playing the part? You know what I mean? They're in an environment that's like, you know, kids have crazy imagination.
Yes.
It's part of our cognitive development is to be able to imagine things and do that. But like Brad said, they're not exposed to, like, everyone says there's no original thought, but for a kid in that situation where there's no TV, there's no media, they haven't been told a story like that, it's original thought. That's coming out of somewhere.
Right.
And I read an article that was super interesting because it was about near-death experience though. And I never thought about the fact that we can't nail down what consciousness is. Like, where is that derived? Where does it originate? Sure. And the thought was that it's not that it's transmitted, it's that it's received. So it's like we're saying the simulation theory. It's like it's projected to us. We're receiving right. the consciousness from somewhere else, like that big crazy fucking spiel you had, how it could occupy an inanimate object or occupy an hypothesis.
Yeah, I was all up on the orc or hypothesis through all of the reincarnation research.
Because it makes way more sense that consciousness is just coming through this avatar that is us. Right. You know what I mean? Because there is, at least at this point in technology, we know a ton about the human body. We've mapped genome. We've done all this stuff. We know what parts of the brain do, but we have no idea. Is it the collective of the parts that somehow just randomize and creates this consciousness? Or is that somehow something we don't see? You can't see Wi-Fi. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like maybe there's something transmitting, you know, somehow it's coming through some other plane or existence and it's coming out of your avatar. You know what I mean? It's like the simulation thing. That would be a solid explanation for that. You know, what's actually happening to get to your destiny character? You know, it's not floating through the air of the destiny environment.
You have some sort of engine, you know what I mean? That's running it.
That's what I'm saying. But in the destiny environment or in the Minecraft environment, what's making it make the directions it moves? It's not that it's coming through the air. It's not coming up through the ground. You know, where is that transmission occurring? In what way? You know, I mean, it's instilled inside the character that you're controlling somehow, but it's not coming.
Well, it has parameters and limits.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it says if like, this, then this, you know, type of thing, you know,
but it's not coming from the controller and like bouncing through the air, like Wi-Fi. It's just something that we don't get.
Right.
I don't know. It's a trip, man. If I was high right now, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that it's like, we don't have the answers and it's too much to think about. Like, we're not smart enough. Even the smartest people in the world
can't get their brain around it. Yeah.
Can't wrap their brain around it.
So the other couple of details that he pointed out in all of his cases. And again, when I say he studied 3,000 cases, I'm not saying that he said there were 3,000 valid cases.
Right.
He studied 3,000 cases. And at the end of the day, he still had so much overwhelming data that it was kind of mind blowing.
Right.
But the other two things are, the good cases of reincarnation, according to him, have a manifestation of a skill that the child could not have acquired. Because remember, we're talking about a 3 to 9 year old child, usually by the age of 7 or so, the memories, quote unquote, of the reincarnation start to fade and the child can no longer remember any of the details. So it's really like this young window where most people, there's a really notable case where it isn't a child, but for the most part, it's children. But they'll start speaking languages that they couldn't have possibly learned.
Well, for instance, there's an article here. It says, and it's a quote. It says, this is something a son saying to his dad. It says, when I was your age, I changed your diaper, said the dark-haired boy to his father. He looked down at his smiling son who had not yet turned 2.
Right.
Like,
crazy. Yeah. Fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's called xenoglossy.
Xenoglossy is when... And I have no memory of this, and my mother was quite a cuckoo and a new ager, but she claims, and I, two of her friends, one of my aunts and my oldest sister all remember this occurring, but I didn't speak when I was a baby. I didn't say anything in English until I was about 2.5, not one word.
Oh, damn.
Not fucking mommy, I didn't say anything. Right. Like, to the point that they were like testing me to see if I was deaf, were there some, but I wouldn't say anything. I would just stare at people and I wouldn't talk and I would mumble. Like, I would just speak gibberish to my brother, and then my brother would turn around and say what it was I wanted, and it was always right.
Right.
Right. So this is my mom, like,
what made
my
up mom your own language.
But according to my mom, she was in the park with friends. They were having, like, we were having a picnic. I was a baby, obviously, like 2 years old. And some woman walked up and was talking to my mom and said, "Your child's really quite amazing." And she was like, "Why?" And he was like, I've never seen a child so young speak such fluent Greek.
Oh, weird.
And my mom was like, "What are you talking about?" And she was like, You're not Greek. Like, your baby is speaking Greek.
Oh, weird. How have we not heard this story?
I don't know. I remembered it when I was doing the reincarnation research. I was like, "Oh, that's right. My mom used to say I did xenoglossy when I was a child." I have no memory of it. And my mom was a new ager and I take it all with a grain of salt. But allegedly when I was a child, I had xenoglossy and I spoke Greek.
Wouldn't it be cooler if me and Brad have been hypnotizing you and telling you these, like, you've been injecting memories.
Exactly.
Like, your mom never shoplifted at
exactly.
Walmart.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't put anything.
I told my daughter today, because she asked what we were studying, and I told her reincarnation. She's right. Like, "What's that?" She's 8, you know. And I was like, "Well, it's when, you know, there's some religions that believe that like cows are sacred because people come back and they become cows or whatever. You know, you come back and you're another person or you're another thing, you know, another living being." And she's like, oh, that's kind of crazy. And so I was telling her, I was like, some people believe in a heaven and a hell, and some people believe in reincarnation. And she goes, I believe in both. And I was like, okay, well, at least that's an open mind. Yeah, you know?
Right.
And I told her, I was like, yeah, I was like, well, like myself in the 1700s, I was with the Denzo dynasty. I was a samurai. And she's like, really? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, and now I'm back and I'm your dad. And she goes, that's pretty cool. And I was like,
she's just on board with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. She's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That both thing is actually a belief of one of, there's so many religions, so many beliefs, but one of them believes that based off of merit, that you spend time in heaven or a hell of sorts.
Yeah.
And when the time is served, you're out. It's almost like jail.
You have to come back.
Or vacation. Yeah. But you have to come back and finish until you finally reach nirvana or
enlightenment. It's
like
a specific.
So you fucked up.
Yeah, one of
you
them
fucked
believes
up and
it.
You
it's like
come,
a specific
yeah.
type of karma.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Like,
and
yeah.
They basically called it merit, though. They're like you sort of building up points based off of selflessness and generosity and kindness to others and, you know, doing good deeds and whatnot. Yeah. And if you earned it, you have credits. You know what I mean? You got frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. Right.
You get to stay in heaven for a little while and then you come back
yeah.
and live another life. It's like the mundane wondering.
Well, I thought about that. And, you know, to people listening, think about it. Like, is there, I was asking myself this question about, you know, we all have things that we do, that we are,
right.
you know, it's who we are. And you just become this thing, you
right.
know, all the things that you do. Is that because it's from something else? Like a lot of the stuff I had influence in my life that I do now, there was no influence
right.
to make me do certain things. It was a want or a need that I already had.
Right.
Right.
And I think about that and I'm like, man, is that true? Like, was I really something old somewhere else? And now I'm me, and those traits are slight, but they're still there.
Right. Well,
and there's tons of those stories where people are horrified of water or something and they mm-hmm. drown in a past life.
Right.
And that was in one of the documentaries. This woman had drowned or something.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. There's tons, man. There's this one I watched and it's Shanti Devi. Did you see that one?
Yeah, that's one of the
super famous.
And Ian Stevenson, like specific, like he went into that quite a bit. Like he did a lot of research on that. But that one, he particularly said he didn't think the investigation was done rigorously enough. So he doesn't really speak much to the Shanti Devi case.
Some of them, though, like they walked with the family, like they take her to all these kids say, oh, my other mom. And their moms are like, what? That's
yeah.
always the common thing. And it's generally before the kid reaches the age that they start school.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts when they can talk because they're verbalizing
round
their
two.
Memories.
Yeah.
And then it's usually stops when they start school if it's not further investigated. Yeah. So this girl like was like, hey, we lived 140 miles away. Like I sold incense and like all this crazy stuff. And then finally, I don't remember how they linked it up. Oh, she said she was hit by a bus. And so when she started school at age 5, her teacher was like, man, that's super interesting. I live where she says she's from. And he told the parents, like, I'm going to go investigate this if you don't care.
Yeah.
So he went and he said, do any families around here make incense? And they're like, yeah, the families across the water
yeah.
on the island over there. There's a couple families that make incense. So he gets across. He said, hey, did any of you guys lose a child to a bus? And they're like, yeah, this many years ago, my child, my son, I think it was
scooter,
killed by a bus
right?
or something. Yeah. So I think she was walking and got off the scooter, or off the bike, stepped out and got hit by a bus. And so they go and they go tell the family. They're like, hey, there is a family that makes incense that their kid got hit by a bus and he was like 19 or something. I don't remember what the deal was. Then she goes and meets them and she's 5 years old and she goes and sits on the lap of an older woman, an adult.
That's the mom.
And no, she says, oh, my little sister, and kisses her on the cheek.
Oh, the mom was dead.
No, the mom's alive. It's the daughter. This, this little 5-year-old girl is the reincarnated dead son of
yeah.
the family that made and sold incense
yeah.
in this other town. So she walks, takes them in the vehicle, like, here's where we're going. They follow her down the dirt road all the way to the home.
So she knows
walks
where
up,
this is
the
at.
Family walks out. She goes and sits on the girl's lap, who was her sister, and says, oh, my little sister. A 5-year-old little girl tells the grown-ass woman, my little sister, and recognizes her and, like, starts to kiss her and cry.
That's wow. also the case where the uncle came to their house, right?
I don't remember that one.
I'm pretty sure that was the Shanti Devi case, but the one of the things was, like, once the investigator went and started talking to the people, you know, about the family and making these connections.
I might have mixed that. You know, I mixed that up. That's that one I just told is not Shanti Devi. It's just a different Indian family. The Shanti Devi one, she meets her son. Shanti Devi died giving birth.
Oh, that's right.
That's yep. That one was set back. That was further back.
Yeah,
that's right. And it was just in the
Indian, that's Indian,
a different Indian right. family. That's how I got it confused.
You notice there's a lot of it's Indian.
Well, it's embedded in their culture because a lot the of belief is yeah. rooted in that. Like the belief there is much
and one of the things like what, to it. One of the reasons I mean when I look at it because we in one of the classes I took in when I was in grad school we studied reincarnation and life after death and all this stuff and one of the big theories about it is that. You're like, if you live, like if such a thing as reincarnation does exist and you live in a culture that doesn't actively believe in reincarnation, when your child starts to give cues that they might've been reincarnated, you just dismiss it and you right. don't even see the yeah. patterns.
Oh, what a great imagination.
Right. But if you yeah. live in that culture, you're like, oh snap, wait a minute. And then you're
well, just, and they're probably trying to see, like they know between this time and this time, they're probably right. like actively like, who are you? You
and
know,
of course, I mean the opposite or the bad side of that is you're also going to be way more likely to start feeding into your kid, yeah. even if it is right. just imagination.
Yeah, asking them where they're from.
You're going
you
to see a lot more.
Who were you? What yeah. was your name?
Yeah,
yeah. But that Shanti Devin was yeah. crazy because she showed up and she had died giving childbirth. And when she shows up to where she supposedly lived, her son walks out that she gave birth to.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's my son. And there, it's like she was younger than him by a little bit or something weird somehow. Yeah. I don't remember how it all went down, but and they're like, how do you know? You would have never seen him. And she said, my soul recognizes his soul. And she like cried and it was like, holy shit.
Like, and you're talking about like a little 3-year-old child yeah. saying this like, thing.
What?
Yeah. But so here's a case of this is a and this is one that Stevenson studied. And again, it's in India. It's the case of a child named Bishan Chand. And as soon as the child was old enough to speak, the child started to ask questions about a town that was like 100 miles away. Just some random town just started asking questions. This is in the 1920s. So again, there's no big media push. There's right. no, and you know, if you Internet. Lived 100 miles away from a town in the 1920s, you probably never went to that fucking town.
What's crazy too, is what was going through that child's brain. It was just waiting to have right. communication skills right.
to be able
it
to start
had
saying
memories
something.
Of shit yeah. to be like, hey, what yeah. is this shit I keep thinking about? I remember all this stuff.
Yeah. So no one in the family had ever been to that town or knew anyone from that town.
By the way, that's called cryptomnesia. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the order, like having a memory that you don't associate with being yours, but right. you totally remember.
But you have
it.
This memory. Yeah. yeah. So Bishan Chand was asked to take there, but was from a fairly poor family. And they were like, we can't fucking afford to go there. You're yeah. crazy. So in 1926, when the kid was 6, he started to communicate more and have even more memories. And he said that his name was Lakshmi Narain. He said that he was the son of a wealthy landowner. He said that his uncle was named Hare Narain and was secretly Lakshmi's father, and that he discovered that when he was an adult. Everybody said it was his uncle, but it was actually his father.
Yeah.
Like just all these fucking crazy details.
Super specific.
Describe the house, the shrine room, the fence, like a green fence outside of right. the house. Recalled having parties with something called Notch Girls, NAUTCH, which were dancers and prostitutes. Like, and his father encouraged him to have an affair with one, even though he was married, to take one as a mistress.
That's a category on Chive. It's like Mind the Gap, but it's Indian women. They're called Notch Girls. Yeah.
So
same thing as Mind the Gap, though.
That's my right. band name. Just Indian. Notch Girls.
Yeah. At times when he was like super young, he would refuse to eat his food and he would say, my servants eat food better than this.
Oh, wow.
Which is just a diss. And then
maybe him and my daughter were friends.
Yeah. At one point, yeah. his father was getting ready to buy a new watch. And he said, quote, don't buy a watch, father. I shall get you 3 watches from a Muslim watch dealer whom I established in Pilibhit and then named this guy who sells
He's
watches.
Like, I just need to get older.
I just need to get older. Waiting, like I fronted the guy the money to start this shop. We'll get watches from him.
Maybe Boss Baby was based on a true
Maybe
story.
It was. Yeah. So then anyway, all this that. Stuff. Oh, and his sister would catch him drinking brandy all the time.
Whoa.
And he was like, I always, and he said, I always take brandy. And I'm just like, that just like full, I was just like, okay, from that point on, the story was ruined because this child was Stewie.
Yeah.
I don't know why, yeah. but as soon as he was
he
drinking
had a British
brandy,
accent.
It was fucking Stewie in my brain.
Mother. Yeah.
So a lawyer in town heard about this case, started to document all of it, fronted the money for them to travel to this town of Pilibhit. And lo and behold, all this fucking shit is right.
Wow.
They took the kid to the school that apparently this other persona went to, and He even like pointed at like pictures on the wall and said, yeah, that was my teacher. And that was the guy's teacher. And this one specifically said, and like at this point, the family went broke after this guy died that he claimed he was the reincarnation of.
Right.
And he said, I don't know why everybody's so broke. I hit all this gold in the wall of the house.
Wow.
And they went and fucking busted open the wall and all this fucking gold was hidden in the wall of the house. And it's like, what do you do with that? Like, it's either all bullshit or I'm having a hard time processing what just fucking happened.
And how much
here.
Of that is like historically accurate versus like folklore and legendary story? I mean, it could have been like embellished
100 years ago
and telephoned all the way through the century. You know what I mean?
Well, like, no, but it was like, again, it was a thing where it was like when they went back, the family was still alive.
Right.
It was only like a span of like 8 or 9 years before this kid was between when the guy died and when the new kid was born. It was a very short window of time. So all the people were still alive. Everyone they weren't even that old, you know, his whole family, his uncle was still alive, all these people. And he even met the other guy's mother. That's the one who he told about the gold coins and basically told the lawyer and his father that he liked this mother better than his other mother.
His new mother?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's better. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, that's worse.
He liked his new mom?
He liked the poor mom? He liked the old mom from the dead guy and didn't like the new mom.
Yeah, man, there's tons of stories where children were like crying for their mother and their mom's there to try to comfort them. They're like, no, I want my mom.
Right.
And they're crying for some, like, you're like, what do you do? You know, that's so strange. If a 3-year-old saying, no, my other mom, you're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
There was one where a woman had all these memories and whatnot and like in crazy detail to the point that she knew her children's name and she went in her... She was probably in her mid to late 20s, and it ends up that her son was still alive. Like, she died as an old woman, and her son was still alive, and he was an 80-year-old man. And she went and met, and he knew. She even looked like the mom is what was a trip. Like, she looked like the mom in the old
Similarly,
pictures. Yeah, at that age.
And that is a trip. That was one other thing that Stevenson said was a factor in roughly, he said in about 35% of what he considered to be valid reincarnation cases, there would be like someone would have a birthmark or discolored skin or a bunch of crazy moles or a deformity where the other, like one guy had a bunch of crazy deformities on his ear and on his cheek. And he remembered being shot there in his previous life.
It's because for some reason, statistically, a huge disproportionate number of the people who experience this died in an accident.
Like something traumatic.
Something traumatic occurred. There was a little girl that said she lived in Turkey and she said, my husband cut my head off. She's like fucking 5. She said, my husband murdered me and cut off my head. And they showed her video and she lifted her neck back and she had a birthmark across her neck.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, a 5-year-old saying
that
shit?
Or the umbilical cord mark.
Yeah, exactly. But he said that about 35%.
There was a kid that said he got shot in the head and they separated his hair and like checked his head because he had those paths and they found a fucking scar on his head that was like, what is that? Like, why do you have scar tissue in your fucking head?
So what's this then on my head?
Gorbachev. That's Gorbachev.
Yeah, you were Gorbachev.
Yeah. Ah, that's right.
So there was a small village in Asia that I was looking at, and they had a reincarnation belief that when you came back as another human, like they didn't have the animal thing, you came back as another human, but if you were bad in their past life, you had no genitals, like you were a Barbie doll.
Right.
This is actually the origin of how Barbie dolls got started and where they came up with. There was 5 specific people that they followed their entire life. The first one is, Amanda Christette Kavanagh, Cynthia Sykes.
No genitals, you're saying?
No genitals. Uh-huh. Philip Hickox, Rebecca Shield, and Kristen Toy.
How did they go to the bathroom? They had the shit out their mouth, I heard.
They peed through their skin like a shark.
Yeah, so basically
They
sweat their piss out. And then when they...
It's interesting that none of them have Asian names.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird.
The reincarnated.
Right.
When you question this story, the reincarnated, that's their name.
That makes sense.
And they actually shit through a hole in the bottom of their foot. It just falls out. They have to wear tall shoes with like a reservoir on the bottom.
Oh. That's like where those tank. Like those 70s shoes where you would see like aquariums and stuff. Like that's where they came from.
Except somebody shit in the tank.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
So,
are you sure those aren't patrons?
No, they're patrons, but that's how I found out about it. I was actually talking to one of them. Crazy. Yeah.
Dave struggles with that. It's just patrons?
No, it's patrons.
And it's Patreons.
The group is Patreon.
No, patron. Those are patrons.
Patreons.
Okay. Those are the group. The website's called Patron.
Yeah, it's patreon.com.
And the people are Patreons.
And they call themselves Patreons.
I don't know why I tried.
Yeah.
I don't,
yeah. Yeah. It's like Pigeons.
Oh, well, now I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So
they're all collectively a pigeon.
Speaking of
pigeons. Right, but individually, they're Pigeons.
Speaking of Pigeons, though, for real, I actually adopted a pigeon from this place called the Flockhart Foundation. And Hillary Flockhart is actually the founder of this. She went in on a charity to rescue pigeons. Like, a lot of people don't realize, you know, pigeons get injured. They're just limping on the sidewalk. They just die. People actually rescue them. Mm-hmm. And she has started a foundation, and she got funding from Mike Tyson because she used to be a ring girl.
In
boxing. And so,
yeah, but then she got ran over and she's super ugly now.
No, he was banging her. No, she's good looking. Mike Tyson was banging her in more than one way. And then he donated money to her pigeon foundation. So Hillary Flockhart is actually,
I heard when he was pounding her out though, he was like smashing her with his fists, like whole fucking fist.
Yeah. In more than one way. Smashed. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And she just has a deformed face now.
Mm-hmm. She looked good. I checked her out. I mean, the swelling must've went down and everything was okay.
Yeah. It happens sometimes. Yeah. So another guy that I looked into, is, again, he's from the same university as Ian Stevenson, and he's the guy who basically is the modern day Ian Stevenson. He was studied under Ian Stevenson.
Even Stevenson. Even
wait,
Stevenson.
Are you doing Patreon or are you going back to the
No, topic? I'm going back to the actual topic.
I didn't know. I was like waiting for somebody's name.
No. But this guy, real guy, Dr. Jim Tucker, I'll post an article, an interview with him in the show notes if I can remember. But he's currently, he works at the University of Virginia. He's still part of the foundation that Stevenson was. And he wrote a book specifically focusing on really concrete reincarnation cases in America. And this is what he did his focus on and what he researches. And in the interview, again, you know, and you can find tons of these stories, but some of them aren't very well documented, et cetera. Right. But so he tells one story in this interview of a guy named James Leininger. And he tells this in a book called Return to Life, but it's the case that he was the most blown away by, I guess. There's a case of a guy named James Leininger, and when he was two, he started to have memories and he started to have nightmares that he was dying in an airplane. Like, he always would wake up like screaming. Yeah. He had bad associations with airplanes,
and
et cetera.
He could play La Bamba on the guitar and he had no idea why.
That's right.
Yeah.
So... and again,
and
he's the son of a Christian couple from Louisiana. There is no cultural background influencing this, et cetera. But when he was a little boy, he would either have fear about planes or he would love his toy planes, like one of the two. It was always like one case or the other. And then he started having horrible nightmares of being in a plane crash about the time of his second birthday. During the day, he would talk about his plane crash, and he said he was a pilot. And he would tell his dad when he's two, he would say he like his plane, and he would like ask his mom and dad, like, I know it's funny, but I would fly my plane off of a boat. And they're like, okay, that's not really funny. Like, people fly planes off boats, you know, but he said, and he even said like the boat was called Natoma. And they were like, okay,
USS Natoma.
So they keep going. as he got older and could articulate it more, he said he got shot down by the Japanese. He said that he was killed at Iwo Jima and that he had a friend named Jack Larson, like very specific details.
Yeah.
So at this point, the father was like, okay, this is going on way too long. And the father spent three to 5 years trying to do research, because this is still sort of pre-internet. And he's like, is there anything to this shit that my kid is saying? And
because I was a 2-year-old, 3-year-old talking about Iwo Jima and fucking his buddy. Fucking
and again,
Jack
this
Larson.
Is a little bit older. So it's not like you could have even hit it on Discovery Channel, because that shit wasn't out yet. So he
you'd
goes.
You have to write letters and wait for correspondence.
Exactly.
And they'd be like, that's classified.
The dad starts to look into it. And there was a ship called the USS Natoma Bay. It was stationed in the Pacific during World War II. It was at Iwo Jima. At the Battle of Iwo Jima, it lost exactly one pilot whose name was James Houston. They even had the same first name, which is kind of weird. James Houston's plane crashed exactly the way that James Leininger had described. He said that the engine got hit and it exploded and that he drowned while burning in the wreckage.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
A horrible death.
Yeah.
The two worst deaths.
Yeah.
You
yes.
Have.
Yeah. And then when he looked into it, when that happened, the pilot, like the spotter pilot that flew next to that pilot, was a fucking guy named Jack, like the same exact name.
You can't drown while burning. Unless your legs are on fire and you're upside down.
Well, he was burning
in the air.
He was burning in the air because the engine exploded and the plane was on fire and going down.
You can't drown while burning.
He was burning and then...
If your skin's burnt and then you get put in water, that's going to fucking burn.
You're no longer burning once you're under the water.
Yeah, your skin is burning.
He was burning until he drowned.
He could have been upside down. His legs could be on fire. I'm just going to say that's the only way that
could be half in, half out.
Right.
Get with it, James.
Yeah. It's like a half burn. He's like a popsicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a popsicle. So, and then, so this Dr. Tucker guy, his quote, he said he was a pilot who was killed 50 years before. He was from Pennsylvania and the other James was in Louisiana. He said, I mean, it sounds absolutely impossible that he could have somehow gained this information as a two-year-old through some sort of normal means. In fact, it took his dad a couple of years, well, really more than a couple of years, 3 or 4 years, to be able to track it all and see that, in fact, that what James was saying all did fit for this pilot who was killed. And there's just fucking endless cases like that.
Right.
So again, either that whole thing is bullshit. Or what the fuck? Like, those are my only two options.
Well, there's nothing in between.
Right. No. It's like,
it's made up and it's bullshit or it's true. And you're like,
And then he starts to talk about the fact, like at one point he started to say like another quote of his, and this is where it starts to get into that Ork OR quantum physics theory, even though he doesn't mention it by name, he's kind of fringing on it in his research. And he says, quote, some leading scientists in the past, like Max Planck, who's the father of quantum theory, said that he viewed consciousness as fundamental and that matter was derived from it. So in that case, it would mean that consciousness would not necessarily be dependent of the physical brain in order to survive and could continue after the physical brain and after the body dies. In these cases, it seems, at least on the face of it, that a consciousness has then become attached to a new brain and has shown up as past memories. But in a case like James Leininger, I mean, it was 50 years between lives. Now, who's to say he didn't inhabit another body in the meantime? But my guess would be no. Now in this world, it may need to be in a physical body in order to be expressed, but it may well be that our brains are conduits for consciousness and that it's actually being created somewhere else.
Yeah, and what if that's ghosts? What if they're floating around because they didn't land in their body? You know what I mean?
Right,
that's
exactly.
Did you see what the Dalai Lama said about it?
Uh-uh.
He basically used the analogy that it was like when your clothes get old and dirty and worn out, you shed the clothes and you get new clothes. And he's like, it's the same thing. When this body is old and worn out, you just get rid of this body and put on a new body. So I thought, I mean, that's pretty simplified.
It's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm still going with video game simulation theory.
Well, no, I mean, that what he just said is pretty much the same thing because how do you...
Well, it's just waiting in the PlayStation. You know what I mean? Like, it's still sitting there.
That's the thing. Like, I mean, how does something travel through wire? So let's say like power, right? It travels through wire as a conduit and it travels to the next place, you know? So you have the same thing. How does information travel? It travels with energy takes it, you know, they're just packets of energy, right? So it's the same thing. I don't know where it comes from or how it gets from one place to another, but I think that that's feasible.
And that's why I say that Ian Stevenson and a lot of people who study this formally and scientifically, they don't ever say there's a soul, it survives after death, blah, blah, blah. They're just saying these are instances of reincarnation. Yeah, right. This is how I define reincarnation. They have memories of a life that they didn't live. They know things, skills that they couldn't know. Even that one kid, like once that I read the Indian kid who remembered being Laxmi or whatever, he even remembered how to fire a gun. And in the story, it came out that when he got his notch girl hooker mistress, he actually shot someone who was running out of her bedroom when he got over there. And once he finally met up with the family broke out like this crazy set of drums. And this little fucking 4-year-old kid just started wailing on the drums and knew exactly how to play them. And they were like, oh, that was his favorite fucking tune.
Yeah. The incense,
like, it's just this endless fucking.
The incense girl, she was there. She said she walked out, went to the next room where they made the incense and was like, where's this? And they're like, oh, we quit making that when you died. Like, we didn't make that one anymore. That's the one you sold. Like, you're like, what the fuck?
And the one that, and I can't remember the person's name, but the one that you talked about with the getting off the scooter, getting hit by a bus, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like
I can't remember her actual name.
In that case, the family of the original version of her, the pre-reincarnation or whatever, the uncle came to the reincarnated kid's house because they thought it was some sort of a scam. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the uncle knocked on the door and opened the door completely unannounced to the family, the kid lit up, said his name, and sprinted to the door and hugged him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because the kid remembered. Yeah.
Well, the old man, the old 80-year-old man with his, the young mid-20s mom or whatever, she would say, like, she was saying, I have this memory of standing on the jetty waiting for something. So she would tell like half the story, and then he, because it was cloudy and he would finish it. He's like, no, I worked on a boat and you would wait for me to get home and you stood on the stone steps at the end of the jetty and waited for me to come in. And she had the memory of that. And so
she didn't know why.
She didn't know why. It was like a new weird relationship. She would show up and she had a kid, but she would knock on the door and it was like, that was her son and that was his mom.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was a trip. It's a weird
relationship. That's weird. He's older than her.
Well, the one that was really weird was like the girl was like six. Yeah. And it was like, she went and found her ex-husband. Like she died in childbirth. You know, it was.
Oh,
like,
she's legal.
Right.
That's in India. Yeah. She's good.
So, but
if
again,
you can make incense. You can fuck. Yeah. Right. That's the rule.
That's the rule.
Catch them, fuck them, incense. Yeah.
But again, there are cases that don't, most of the cases deal with children. But there was a case, there's a guy named Robert Almeter, and he wrote a book called Death and Personal Survival. And he talks about this case. So there was a woman who's just referred to as Mrs. Smith, and she was in her 30s in England. And she all of a sudden started having night terrors and horrible dreams of being burned alive at the stake and being fucking locked in the basement of a church and all these bizarre fucking dreams.
Salem. She was a witch.
And they got so disturbing that they got her committed.
Right.
So she gets into a mental institution in Bath, England, meets with her psychiatrist, and after several months, her psychiatrist is listening to all these stories from this woman, and she's like, oh no, I've done that, you know, my whole life. I've even got like detail. I kept notebooks as a child and stuff. And you know, I've always been like this. It's just been getting worse lately.
Right.
So he asked her husband to bring all of her childhood notebooks to the mental hospital so he could look over them. And the doctor looked at him and recognized the language, even though he couldn't read it because it wasn't written in English.
Oh, whoa.
And it was written in medieval French.
Whoa.
And he was like, what the fuck? And she was like, yeah, I wrote that. And he ended up sending the papers to a professor that he knew. And that was who said, yeah, this is medieval French. And in fact, these are children's songs that were sang in the 12th or 13th century France. And all these bizarre details that she
gives. So she couldn't even read it.
She just wrote it. She had no idea what it meant.
So she didn't know what it said necessarily.
No.
Oh, wow.
So this doctor like trips out and starts looking into all this shit. And apparently she has all these weird memories of this religious group called the Cathars or the Cathars or the Cathars. And she remembered being locked up during the Inquisition in the crypt of a church. And everybody's like, that doesn't make any sense. They had prisons and you would have been locked up in a, you know.
Right.
But then again, the doctor went and got a hold of all these manuscripts. And they ended up bringing these manuscripts to him that people couldn't check out.
Right.
Like these were not accessible to the public. This was in 1968. So he travels down to France in Toulouse, gets these manuscripts about the Cathars and all this stuff. And like the priest who she said she had a love affair with, she found his name in the papers.
Whoa.
He found out that this like total bizarre, like even the historians were like, no, that doesn't make any sense about being like locked in the basement of the church. But then in the manuscripts, he found out that since the Inquisition was doing a purge of all the Cathars and locked all of them up simultaneously for a mass trial, there was overcrowding in the jail. So they had to lock them up in the crypts underneath the church, which is exactly what she remembered being locked up. She even talked about, again, like the historians were like, well, the Cathars all wore black. That was part of their order. And she's saying that this guy wore dark blue and wore brown. And in the manuscripts, there were like some handful of them that did prefer to wear dark blue and brown. So even like things that historians were like, no, that's bullshit. Once they started looking into it, they were like, oh no, apparently she was right. Like even the experts didn't fucking know until they started digging into this stuff. And she even like little details. She remembered giving a loaf of sugar as medicine to someone. And again, the historians at first were like, sugar wasn't in the area at the time. It was only in the Middle East. But then some other ones were like, no, medicinally it was in 13th century France. Yeah. You would only use it as a medicine, which is exactly what she had, like all these fucking things.
Sugarloaf was a really popular band back
huge
then.
Huge band. Still is. But like all these things, like down to the fact that she remembered being burned at the stake And I have the description and it's pretty fucking horrible. So I will read it. Anything horrible deserves to be read.
They broke out a book
on this. I did break out a book. She says, and this is from dreams. This is why she would wake up screaming in the middle of the night, because this is what she was reliving in her dreams. The pain was maddening. You should pray to God when you're dying, if you can pray to God when you're in agony. In my dreams, I didn't pray to God. I didn't know when you were burnt to death, you'd bleed. I thought the blood would all dry up in the terrible heat, but I was bleeding heavily. The blood was dripping and hissing in the flames. I wish I had enough blood to put the flames out, but the worst part was my eyes. I hate the thought of going blind. In this dream, I was going blind. I tried to close my eyelids, but I couldn't. They must have been burnt off, and now those flames are going to pluck my eyes out with their evil fingers. And then she said, the flames weren't so cruel after all. They began to feel cold, icy cold. It occurred to me that I wasn't burning to death, but freezing to death. I was numb with the cold, and suddenly I started to laugh. I had fooled these people who thought they could burn me. I am a witch. I had magicked the fire to turn me to ice.
That's weird. I was with her until she got magic.
Yeah, well, that was the... But she was in the Inquisition, and they probably called her a witch.
And there is no spoon.
And there is no spoon.
Well, apparently she died.
Yeah, at the stake.
So,
but anyway, like that was a case that's an older, but again, it happened. That's a rare case because it started when she was a child, and then all those memories flooded back once she was older.
And in opposition to most of the cases, a lot of them are very like regional geographically. Yes. Like it's not that far from like your respawned. And
the thing that's a trip is the Cathars. One of the reasons they were persecuted by the Inquisition is because they held long persecuted Christian beliefs of reincarnation.
Oh shit.
So that kind of makes it even creepier because this obscure sect,
I wonder if it falls,
because there was a thing called the Council of Lyons that I read about, where the Vatican actually went through and made sure that all rituals, all rites, everything didn't refer to reincarnation anymore. Right. Even though there's biblical passages that refer to reincarnation, they wanted to downplay all of it. And
I wonder if there's anything like hereditary. It's hard because they're so spread thin, but I wonder if there's some lineage tied to it, and possibly, someone traveled, to the United States, and it was actually their ancestors. Like if the reincarnation stays within the lineage in some way.
In England, she was from.
Yeah. Oh, she's from England.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a super popular one, and it was in the 60s. They made some movies about it. It got really popular. I can't think of her name. It was like Bridey something.
Sure.
But she said she was from Ireland. It was one of the first hypnotic regression cases. Uh-huh. And she said she was from Ireland. And like, basically he just kept saying, go back. You're a baby. You're one. Now go back even further, go back even further. And then all of a sudden her like voice changed, her demeanor changed. And then she said she scraped all the paint off her bed. And he's like, well, what's going on? Like, cause no one had really had that happen before in hypnotic regression. And then he starts going like, how old are you?
Back.
And she, And then he goes, oh, it's a little kid, like a different little kid. He's like, where do you live? And she said some weird place. He's like, what country? And she said, Ireland. And then he's like, what the hell? And he starts moving forward and moving forward. So then he, progresses back through her life, back to the death, to the birth, all the way through Ireland. And then she got really popular. They made a bunch of movies in the 50s about it, I guess. But so that one was someone in the United States.
Right.
Somebody killed her, selling her pot of gold.
Did you guys see the little Scottish boy? The little Scottish boy that was like obsessed, saying that he lived on some island where there was a White House and airplanes would land on the beach, and he had brothers and sisters and they would play on the beach and he could see him out the window, and he had a black and white dog. Did you see any of that one? It was super interesting. So they finally, the mom is like, same kind of thing. They couldn't afford it. They finally get on a plane and they land on the beach, like next to this island where pretty much he's saying planes land on the beach. And they go to like the historian, the local historian, and they say, hey, he has the exact first and last name of who his dad is. And they go and they said, is there anyone on the island named with this last name of the family? And he's like, yeah, that doesn't sound familiar. And I pretty much know the history of the island, such and such. And so they go driving around just hoping. And he says, everything looks very, very familiar, but he never picks out his house, never picks out his house. He's like, no, it's not that one. It's not that one. He's like, oh, I know the people that live there though. And like never picks out a house. And then finally they get a phone call and he's like, all right, come back. He's like, there was a family in through the 60s and 70s. They lived here for 20 to 30 years. And their last name was whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was this White House on the north side of the island. They go and it's like, it's the house.
That's the house.
The kid goes from like jumping around being a little kid. He's like 4 or 5 maybe. And he's all happy and hyper and stuff. And he gets there and he's completely somber. He's like, he looks sad because the house is like just dilapidated and abandoned. And I think he had some sense that like he was going to get there. And it's like, the family. His sisters were going to be there. His mom was going to be there. And it's just like this empty house.
That would suck for you if you're the parents and you're like, the dad's like, you're like, oh no, my real dad. And you're like, the fuck you mean your real dad? Yeah, and the mom, you know, my
bitch,
real mom.
You got something to say to me?
Yeah.
Well, they go, they go and explore the house, and he goes, he's like, this is where the girl stayed, the boy stayed here. And then they finally find out that one person is still living, a woman's living with that last name, and they trace it back that she used to spend summers at that house. They go meet the woman, and she pulls out a photo album, and then there it is. Like, he's like, there's my dog, and it was a black dog, and he's like, oh, I fucking knew the name or some shit. And but Spot. It's in Scotland, though. It's a border collie. Like, obviously... Is there any other dog in Scotland other than a black and white dog? I don't know. But he was like, yeah, this is this. And they lined it all up. He was off on some stuff, but way too many things were perfect. I mean, he picked the dog, the white house.
If your young kid can get you somewhere where the name's correct and the house that he's talking about.
He even said there was like a secret entrance to the beach that his brothers and sister would go. And they walked over and there's this weird little gate hidden in the grass that led down to the beach. And you're like, wow.
Yeah, how would you know that? Yeah. Not having been
super interesting.
Right.
Well, there's
even the Ian Stevenson, like when he like looking at the hit rate on accuracy, like one of the things I read was like one of the final papers that he published before he died was several cases that he had currently investigated. Cause he was always like, oh, these are the latest cases that I investigated. And one of the last ones that he did, I think it said it covered 300 cases. Cause by that point he kind of knew what to rule out and what to look at as a legitimate case. But out of the cases that he looked at, there was a 92% accuracy of comments they made.
I'm saying 70%. I'm pretty impressed.
90 you know fucking what I mean? Two.
Yeah. I'm saying at 70.
50%. I'm not sleeping well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you could tell me 70% of what's in the room next door, I'm fucking impressed. Balls. Yeah.
You give me 92%.
Here's the thing. If I gave you like, if you're at a deck of cards, you know what I mean? There's only so many options. You're talking about infinite options.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't for them to get anything right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All the years, all the fuck. Yeah. In 1882, I was a fucking barber and fucking this. And you're like, what the fuck? My name was fucking Bill Willis.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, Bill Willis had a barber shop fucking in fucking England. You know, like, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
And again, with a lot of like weird supernatural stuff, I'm always more interested in the older cases because it's before everything, before the internet
there's
blew
no
up.
Well, there's before reincarnation.
Not even fucking cable TV. Yeah. Like, there's no way for the kid to have unconsciously watched some Discovery Channel documentary at 2 a.m. and picked up these bizarre details. Like there's nothing. It's a fucking blank slate. And these motherfuckers are accurate.
Well, the fear of water, I've talked about before, that experiment where the rats, where they induce like the citrus scent and shock it. And they skip generations of breeding the rats and they put the rats back in and they've never been shocked. Their parents hadn't been shocked.
Yeah.
And then they induce the citrus scent and they get anxiety. That makes me like, I can wash away some of it. Like, oh, you're scared of water because you have some instilled genetic memory.
Right.
That's just like a survival
That's
instinct.
Why black people don't like water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And lanterns in the tree attract them.
Yeah.
But the things with like names.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the weird shit. Names, dates, businesses, addresses.
Something's
That's
up.
Some crazy shit.
And one of the skeptical responses does tie into genetic memory because they're just trying.
Right.
Again, when you talk about a skeptical response, you're not looking at people
who say
there's no reincarnation. They're looking at these cases and going, well, motherfucker, we got to come up with something.
Has it ever been tested that does sperm have a memory?
Well, here's what's happening, though. It's not that because scientists were trying to dispute
the
reincarnation, the memory part, to say like how cellular division happens in the womb and how the baby's created. And there's to inject memories or anything into that at that point during division. I liken it more to like you built a car and someone sat down and started driving. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you didn't put the memories in when you're piecing the fender on and the tires and shit. The car was built and then the person that drove that other
car sat down and started driving. At some point, the baby gets consciousness.
Yeah.
Right.
At some point.
Yeah. So,
there's the case of the murdered boy who tells his mom that, did you guys see that one?
Mm-mm.
He tells us he's 3 years old and he tells his mom, that he likes his new daddy. And she's like, what do you mean? And, he said, my old daddy was really mean. He stabbed me in the back and I died, but I really like my new daddy. He would never do that to me.
Jesus.
Like if you're a fucking 3 year old fucking tells you some shit like that. Like,
no, there was a little, this little redheaded girl said that she wandered off by herself and the monsters took her and bit her and killed her. And the guy interviewing the baby, this little girl was like, what? And he's like, what did they look like? And she said, he looked a lot like you. And it was like a balding man, like with glasses, like just a 40-year-old dude.
Yeah.
And so they go and do the research and there's really a girl in this missing town that wandered off and someone got her and killed her.
Wow.
And it was like, that was a story. But she told details of like being bitten and the way she was killed and stuff.
Like,
and
then, stamp collection.
But it's like
status.
That's like a movie thing. Like, he looked like you. Like, now they have a chance at catching him because this weird reincarnated thing happened. Yeah.
There's another one who's the boy is his own grandpa. So the grandpa died before the boy was born and he came back and it was the grandpa.
That's getting weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like some Back to the Future 4 shit.
He sits right on
there.
His own lap.
Yeah.
He was able to,
if you know what I mean.
He had never seen the grandpa. He had never seen the grandpa because he died. And then they brung photos out and showed him and he pointed out himself.
He just keeps offering himself a nickel to rub his feet. He's like, rub my feet for a nickel.
So yeah, I don't know, man. There's a lot to the reincarnation stuff.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Like I said at the very beginning, when you read the good cases, I either have to rule the whole fucking case out or I have to make some room to think about what consciousness is and how it can survive bodily death and what, you know, and maybe it's easy for you if you believe in a soul and you believe in all that stuff, because bam, there's your answer. The soul hopped out, jumped in another body, everything's good. But again, even these people like Ian Stevenson who believe in reincarnation, they don't think everybody's reincarnated. Right. He thinks it's a fairly rare phenomenon and it's worth studying and trying to be scientific about.
What were their souls like on deck? You know, what was the population of the earth during biblical times versus now? You have 7 billion people. Where did those souls come from? Is there a soul factory somewhere?
Yeah, it's all automation.
Well, they had
now.
To start at some point, too. Like, they had, at some point.
That's the sound of souls being.
That's the soul factory.
Yeah,
my favorite funk band.
Yeah.
Is that not factory? It's a club or something, right? The soul factory?
I think it is a band, actually. It has to be something. Soul factory, yeah.
It must be.
Yeah. Just like Dead Baby Milkshakes. It's my punk band. But
that's rough. That got weird.
It did.
Why did it get so quiet?
I don't know.
Anything else on reincarnation?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, my one takeaway at 9/11 was an inside job.
I just feel sorry for the kid.
I concur.
Indeed. I got a couple of.
You stole mine.
You stole mine. We traded just now.
Oh, true.
Yeah. I'm sorry for the kids. My thing. I had to go with yours.
I've got a couple of Patreons that I want to shout out, but we should do sponsors first.
Be in the nest. Okay. So hang around.
We have another show.
Yeah. We do have to do that. Hey, what's a. You want to tell your people who need to hang around because you're going to tell them or no?
Are you going to wait?
No, it's not the nest. I'm just...
Not even a secret. We're just
I just looked up some stuff about them and I just wanted to thank them and say a couple of things about their lives.
All right. So we need to thank our primary sponsor, El Yucateco Hot Sauce. We did put a post in the group. We're trying to do an East Coast meetup. So if you're not in our Facebook group, I don't care if you're on Instagram, you hate Facebook. Like, it's the same shit. Like, just join... You know, go over there and make a Facebook, make a fake name. Don't tell your friends. You don't have to see their Trump posts. It doesn't fucking matter.
or don't. You don't get to choose topics.
Yeah.
You don't get to
but
have
if you
your
join
input.
The Facebook group. That's where we decide the topics. When people submit topics, you're sending topics to me on Messenger and on our.
And when he says we, it's Brent.
Yeah. I get those things and I have to say, hey, go join the group and post those in the group. There's a special spot where everybody votes on the topic and then we pick it from that. We actually pick it from there. So join the Facebook group. It's called the Unofficial SK Ultra. Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
I don't even know the name of the group. That's awesome. If you don't know, instead of sending me a topic suggestion, send me a request.
I just go in there and I go in there and talk shit to you.
So. Yes, exactly. Brad will show up, say some shit, and leave.
Yep. And then any replies I don't care about.
But join the group because right now in the rotation, there's actually a poll for all of the House of Blues in the United States. And we're trying to see what the turnout
will
be.
What happened to Montreal? We're not doing Montreal.
That's in the United States only, I think. So, but El Yucateco is going to send us to go meet you guys at one of the House of Blues, but we're looking for the best turnout, honestly. So we're trying to see where the most people would show up. We want to go to the East Coast because everyone's crying about nothing ever happens on the East Coast.
You're gonna go to Boston.
We live way the fuck over here. So go say you'll go, but you need to fucking go if you say you're going to go. So go fill out that, join our group. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. They are available at most major grocery stores. If you can't find it at your grocery store, go check a little Mexican market because it's probably there. And if you can't find it in Target, it fucking might not be there, apparently. I fucking spent some time on the phone at some Targets. It's probably in the ethnic section, not in the other guy's section. But you can buy it on the internet if you're not like Brad and you'll just give up and buy it on Amazon because they do have it for fucking sure. It's a sure thing. They'll send it to you. Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. They make stickers, banners, all kinds of stuff. If you have a podcast or a business, if you need printed goods, you can use code SOFAKING to save some money. And that's printdirtcheap.com. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics for our t-shirts. And thank you to Digital Creations for our heat press mugs. They make keychains, mouse pads, all kinds of heat transfer items. If you need something like that, they do one-offs. So there's no setup fees. And if you just need one of something, it's a super cool way to make a funny cup for your friend, or, you know, a pillow or something with a dick on it. I'm not sure if they can do that, but you could try. They are digital.creations.bakersfield, or just Digital Creations. Just Google it. If you can't get a hold of them, get a hold of me and I will figure it out and make it happen. Also, thank you to Dan Camrio Jiu-Jitsu. Log on to armhunter.com for gis, apparel, and instructional DVDs. And on that note, I need to say, go check out Breakers Podcast. Check out Life Bites Podcast. Brian Ross actually made New and Noteworthy. He saved up a bunch of episodes and released them, and all his friends went and left reviews, and he made New and Noteworthy, which is a big deal. So go check him out. I think they have
See, we learned from stuff we didn't do, and we're helping out other podcasts.
Yes, right. I'm trying.
So as I said, but make your own podcast. And we'll help you out.
Yeah. Life Bites is the podcast. That's Brian Ross. And they talk about the craziest things on the internet. Go check that out. And I feel like All Things Star Wars Podcast. They just gave us another shout out. They're the ones that got a review. And the review says, pretty good. It's no Sofa King podcast, but not too bad. Which I thought was pretty funny. So
and
accurate.
Good luck to the girls at Mixed Feelings.
Yeah, man.
They're in the,
fucking
they're
pray.
In the path of
if you're religious,
that's your own fault. Like, you live in fucking Florida. Today.
They sent some pictures, man, and they're on the beach. Fucking you know, crazy. They're on the opposite side
right
of the beach.
Near the beach.
I don't think it matters. Yeah, so, they're like boarded up windows, sleeping in bathtubs.
Where are you from?
Good luck to them.
Cassie
right
Mandy,
near the beach.
You're in our prayers and thoughts.
So I looked at a couple of patrons, and one of them, like, speaking of hurricanes, he's actually, a lot of these are things that I found out about him by going to the group. So again, if you're not in the group, you can go in and learn a lot of things about people. But there's one of our patrons, we want to thank you, Edgar Lopez. He's a meteorologist, and he's been kind of depressed lately because he's been waiting for, like, this big break with the National Weather Service where he was supposed to become the guy who gives hurricanes names.
Oh.
And he got super excited because it was a big promotion, but it was actually a demotion because he got the job where you give hurricanes their middle names.
No one ever hears that.
So he's kind of depressed because he does all this work and no one ever hears it. So
yeah, like, you didn't even know Irma, it's J. It's
exactly.
The initial. I don't know what that means.
Right. He does. He came up with it.
Jeremiah.
So, but he's a little bit sad because of that.
Irma Jemima. I don't know. What's J?
It was Jemima.
Irma Jemima.
It might be Jemima.
Might be Jemima. Did you see that meme? It's that the Jose's coming in right after Irma.
No.
Good thing Jose can't get into the United States or something like that.
Did you see the thing where the police actually had to tell Florida people to not fire into the hurricane?
Yeah.
Because some guy posted on Facebook, he said, let's let Irma know we shoot first. And then 80,000 people said they were going to the event.
And this is why Florida.
Please, exactly.
Just take it off the map.
Yeah.
Might happen
like,
right now.
Like, Florida is second. Actually, first to California. Florida first. California could fall off next. Like
more like Borda.
God. So, more like Bordafornia.
Second, I wanted to thank Ronnie Espinosa for talking on the group. One of the things that he said in the group, and no one really commented on this, but I thought it was an interesting fact. His name is Ronnie Espinosa, but he said that...
I think it's just Espinosa.
Once he got older, he started to pronounce it Roni Espinosa. Because he had some mental problems, went to the hospital, and when he came out, he thought that Bobby Brown was singing Tenderoni about him, and he calls himself Roni instead of
Bobby
Ronnie.
Brown's song is just called Roni.
Yeah, my Tenderoni.
No, that song's not called Tenderoni.
Well, it's all about a Tenderoni.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know
about the Tenderoni.
Called. Either way,
actually, though,
he
everybody
his
knows
name legally to be.
Everybody
Roni.
Knows black people like mac and cheese. That's what true. That song was about.
It's just about a Roni. She's a sweet little girl.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's macaroni. Yeah. Velveeta.
There's no Tenderoni.
It's Velveeta.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it was Tenderoni.
She's my tenderoni.
Yep.
Yes, it's in the fucking lyrics.
Yep.
No. Yeah. Anyway, a couple more. David Renshaw, we want to thank him.
I know so much of that song.
Between you and me.
I know so much. Sing it.
I made this money. You didn't write Ted. Remember that part?
No. David Renshaw was one of the ones who voted for this episode. He wanted us to do reincarnation because apparently he's an expert in subsequarnation.
Subsequent
is that?
Instead of reincarnation, it's like subsequent incarnation where like you remember your current life only.
Huh. I can't, so, I have the opposite
not that.
That.
Yeah. My brain can't remember anything.
It's not that impressive. And the
Brent's
last two,
every day.
I wanted to thank Rupert E. White. And apparently
I just have Carnation Instant Breakfast. Cause that's all I remember is about
you say you
want to
thank Wyatt Earp,
Rupert E. White. And apparently he was there was a website that voted Rupert E. White as having the whitest name on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the E is, but and the website was whitemencanthump.com. I don't know what kind of website that is. And then finally, we have Alex Motka, and Alex has a very interesting job. Alex is an expert. He lives in New York City. He works at a hospital, and he's an expert in anal triage.
Ooh, yeah.
So like when, like you always hear stories of someone, of someone.
No, I'm having flashbacks of Brent's talk.
Yeah, you are. Didn't,
yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah. You know, you hear stories of someone who gets a golf ball stuck up their butt or a cork or what, I don't know, but.
What? I don't even know the flashback. What was I talking about?
No, it's butts? From, we can't mention it. I just was dying because as soon as he said the white men can't hump thing, like the.
When we log off, I must know.
Yeah. Okay.
I know where you're going. Just, anyway, Alex Motka, his job is anal triage and he's at a hospital. Yeah. And his job is whenever someone comes in with something up their butt, he has to do triage and determine, because they only have one butt doctor.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come in with stuff up their butt, especially on like a holiday weekend. And he has to figure out whose butt gets stuff taken out of
my
it
neighbor
first.
Did that. Yeah, my prioritize. Neighbor, Josh Toll.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to live by him.
Yeah. But Alex Motka does anal triage, and that's a big job.
I knew someone that worked at an ambulance company, and a pastor of a church locally ended up at the hospital because they put a jar in their ass and it broke. Yeah.
I thought that was a myth.
No, that was like, that's local.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I thought that was.
So, yeah. No, in bigger cities, you need anal triage, and that's what he does.
I think you need thicker glass.
He's a first responder in times of danger. He's there. He's on the ground.
That's like almost, it's worse. Like that's like the iPhone guy who has to fix the smashed screen that you have to pull off each piece. But you got to go in somebody's ass and get each piece of glass out and put it back together.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's a horrible job.
I can't even sweep the
kitchen.
When a glass breaks on the kitchen floor, there's always a hidden sliver. Like 3 weeks later, you can't walk barefoot, it still gets you.
So the pastor with the broken jar in his ass would definitely outrank a guy with like a golf ball.
Alex Fant. I shouldn't say it because it's like, you know, it's local, but Alex Fant was the name of the pastor.
Well, he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. On a side note. That wasn't really Alex Fant. That really did happen in Baker Show. There was a jar in.
Who's Alex Fant?
Patreon.
Okay.
So he probably does do that. It just hasn't broke yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, if you keep the pickles in the jar with the fluid in it, it probably won't burst.
It's true.
It
was like matter of fact. That shit's true.
His eyes said it too. All, you can see the video.
It's all about like, pressure equalization.
Yeah.
He's like, you start with the pickle, you work up to the jar. That's what's up. You know what I mean? You can tell Dave's known for making pickles.
Yeah, pickles.
Yeah. Start with the pickle, work up to
the
jar.
He has to make the pickle first, then he gets to the cucumber, and then he gets to the jar that they're in.
Yep. All about the brine.
And then the big jar. He's in them big jars.
It's called the procession of pickles.
Yeah. I just bought a 1 gallon jar of mayonnaise.
Damn.
It's huge.
For what? Shit.
Well, it's cheaper. You buy 1 gallon and it's like $5.50, and a small one's like $3.
Like, you look like it just makes sense.
Yeah. It doesn't go bad. It's fucking that shit's gonna be around in the apocalypse. Yeah. Like we'll be eating mayonnaise.
Yep.
What brand is the mayonnaise though?
Best Foods.
Oh, that's what I'm fucking talking
about.
The
only brand you can eat.
So Dave won't agree on this, but we got Menship and Best Food right now.
Yes.
Yeah, we're about to do karate
Best
in the garage.
Foods and Velveeta.
And build bunk beds. That's right.
Velveeta, shells and cheese.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep.
Damn, me and Brad became board. Best friends all
you
over
did.
Again.
You did.
Yeah.
All right.
Were we best friends?
No.
Oh. That was pretty. That was like having an iguana for a pet. That was really one sided.
Now you know how our listeners feel. All right. On that note, don't be a retard.
An alarming spike in violent crimes in Southeast D.C. Candace Gibson is live near the scene of today's shooting with their story. Candace?
Yeah, Maureen, violence has been increasing here in Southeast at an alarming rate. Should point out, ironically, most of the shootings take place during the daylight hours. Today's shooting, which took place just a few steps from where I'm standing right now, highlights the problem around here.
See, it's time for the OGs to co-sign the young niggas, dog. Stop being all about your motherfucking self, nigga. Give other niggas a chance, you feel me?
Flashbacks when I was younger, seen them pop my boy head off. Pulled up in the Vic bus shots and then they sped off. Thought it was the 4th of July, but how much they let off. turn around to see if my mans was well off. Took a glance at him, stomach dropped on my feet. I was in disbelief after I saw what I seen. It has scarred me for life, the troubled times of a teen. And then it only got worse as mom arrived on the scene. She seen a child and she couldn't believe it. I'm used to seeing a smile, but all she doing is screaming. His older brother was a thug too. Said they gonna pay for this in blood, that's what a thug do. See his tears run too, who we supposed to run to? In a city filled with madness, emptiness inside the cabinets. We hungry, dog. Lose most of my homies around the summer, dog. Trying to trap me and I'm running through every one of y'all.
I can't trust nobody.
Retaliation was the only answer. His brother packed a bunch of straps in the back of his Lancer. Now he don't even know who did this shit, but he was going right on everybody block till he find someone to admit to it. And now he know that was my brother too, so he came to my house like, what you wanna do? Look, I'm a youngin', I was mad, but I ain't really know. Wasn't aware and not prepared for how the street should go.
I'm about to go find the niggas that did what they did to my brother. So, what you doing? You riding or not?
Riding? I don't even know who did it. What you mean?
What you mean? Nigga, somebody knows something. And I'm kicking in any and every door until I find out who. So, what you doing?
Look, man, I know this shit crazy, but I ain't trying to do no stupid shit, though. I ain't trying to be nasty. Bullshit.
Always no use of this.
I told him, I ain't trying to get killed off. Call me a bitch ass nigga and then he peeled off. He had some homies in the whip, I think I seen them before. I couldn't put my finger on it, so I still wasn't sure. And then it hit me, the same niggas that was in his whip was the same niggas that was shooting at us from the Vic. Who smoked his brother was his dudes and his crew. So when they went around the corner, took his ass out too.
Dang. I can't trust nobody.